Does he hear of it?
Sure. Who's the Rebbe?
I had the Rebbe from kindergarten through Rebbe Mendel Kravitz.
The Mendel Kravitz was the Rebbe, right?
I had Rav Shachshid,
Rav Kravitz, had Rav Tendler, Rav Tendler. You know, that's the key there is Rav Mendel Kravitz, right?
Why the key? You
because he was a Talmud Rabban.
Yeah, but that's not why he got in.
No? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just, it's not that he recommended me. There were a few guys who decided to go, so.
Who were the other guys?
There were other guys. I'll tell you, the Chabura, when I came there, the Chabura that the first one I learned Chavrusa with was Rav Yankov Schneidman. When I came there, Balbastra. And then later, when we learned Kachin, I learned him for a while. And then also there was Hirschfeld, wasn't a Chabura.
Who?
Hirschfeld.
Hirschfeld, okay.
And there was Nussbaum.
Which what was the first
name? Weintraub, there was Jacobs.
This Nussbaum, what was the first name?
Mashka, we used to call him. Nussbaum, I don't know.
Where is he now?
You're writing about me or you're writing about
me? No, why you mention names, I want to see if I have all these people already.
Well, Kai Weintraub was nifty.
Yeah, I know. I have him. But,
And, there was Lazy Dicker.
Well, I have him too. Lazy Dicker, yeah. I have him. But, okay.
Go to Jacobs was there.
Which one?
What?
Which Jacobs?
Yehuda Jacobs.
Oh, uh-huh, okay. Yeah, I am too.
And then Elie Stefanski was there.
Elie Stefanski?
He came a little later. You know,
he's from England, no?
The one who was, who became later assistant to Abnasi.
Yeah, he's here, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Stefanski.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, he... Yeah. Okay, they were in RJJ?
No.
Oh.
That was the first Chabura that I learned with.
Oh, here in Lakewood, okay. But the last Rebbe you had in RJJ?
The Chabura that I learned with them, the Dafka, was when we learned Kachin. That was a few years later.
Uh-huh.
And the beginning when I came, so also that they were, I learned with Schneidman.
Right.
Actually, they came
roughly
about the same time.
Mm-hmm. Schneidman. Well, I forgot to put this in, because I
forgot
to say your name. Hold a second.
Shaul Kagan.
Well, I have to mention your name, because I didn't do it at the beginning. This is Rabbi Naftali Hertz Noble. Yes, continue. Shaul Kagan, right?
Yeah, Noble is
known nowadays, I am Lamed. I'm doing it in English.
Doing English?
Yeah.
Noble is K-N-O-B-E-L.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah. That I had before. okay, so now you were learning with these people. Okay. And you came from Mendel Kravitz this year?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very good. And these people came with you together, more or less, to Lakewood.
Not together, I don't came more or less the same time.
Uh-huh, right. Okay, what was it?
Other people I was friendly with, I
don't know. Okay, but let's say, could you describe your first encounter with Rabban?
Yeah, I'll tell you. the Rashidas, that's all, I call them the Rashidas.
Yeah.
And the first time, especially the first time you see him, I mean, you could see that he's mamish like not a human person, like a malach mokim.
Mm-hmm.
So he had such penetrating blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, of course he greets with a smile, but, and he's very fierce. His motions were fierce. He spoke fierce. When he said a shiur, he said a fierce. He said a shiur 1 hour, what the others of the rashis would say about like in a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to come, I used to love to hear the shiur because, if you look over the Mamakinus and then you listen to it, even though it was very hard to say over the whole Shia because there was so much there from all over Shas. But I used to gain so many ideas from there, just from listening, you know, slurs and ideas in that 1 hour. And he gave the 2 shurim a week. In the first year he gave, during the winter, he gave 8 o'clock on Tzeri Shabbos.
Right.
And he'd give a hemshich Monday morning, about 10:30 to 11:30. And then, then when I first came, you get on a bus. Go to New York, to Manhattan. And then he, from there he'd go by train, usually to New York.
Yeah, somebody's late from the same machines. Okay. That's not, it's all vacuuming here. Okay. So, when did he put up the Ma'amar Kindness?
He put up the Ma'amar Kindness usually Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Later, you know, he saw the boys wanted to listen to the show. So, you know, so they said, how can we do it? You know, there's so much, you know, to learn from the Ma'amar Kindness. So he said, imagine that in that land against the sugya. No, the Ma'amar actually tells us there isn't the Ramah, so, you know, like, yeah. that there was...
Yeah, I understand. What year was that when you came?
So it came 1954.
Okay.
Maybe the end of 53, it's 54.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, the end of, I actually came Elizabeth in 53.
Who did you talk to before you came here?
I know we're speaking about the
Kabir,
and we're talking about, you know, different things.
No, I mean, like, you got some, like, Sahara, or what? Or introduction, or something.
No, I'll tell you, you know, it was different than it is today.
Well, it's a form.
Today, if you come to Lakewood, you need the machina with the whole thing, you know, then...
Well, it's so formalized.
And it's more of money. Yeah, then you have to say you're going to pay a tuition.
that's much better.
But those days, the yeshiva, they were glad to have someone coming because they were all together. When I came, I think about 65 boys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
there
were 12
young alike. Who are some of the old-timers that were here, like from Kletzky and other Europeans?
Well, yeah, there were some Kletzkys, yeah. There's some of the young alike. was it labeled Trump, I think? No, not Trump. I just try and think of the names. There was...
Brodkin.
Yeah, Alain Brodkin. And who else do you know, Ray? My wife, later in the Kyle. Who was the one whose wife was going around with a bicycle? Shalom, peace and
London,
but, you know...
Very orderly.
Wait. Lindbergh. Baffin and his son very schmuck, so we all went to that for Britain. The raid was Yanko Schiff. You heard of Yanko
Schiff? Sure, yeah.
He wanted to go also, but the Shia didn't let him.
Didn't let him go to Ramesh Ivan
this year? That was the raid, you know. Anyhow, because he was very, come on. And also, when Rashid was sent to Shia, if anyone tried to slug up, they would like, Rashid would, you know, get very excited. There's only a few people who even dared to.
Did you witness that too?
Yeah, sure, I witnessed it a couple of times. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm thinking of it now. Was one time, during the Shia, Ramesh Eisman, he got dealing with the Shiva, and then when he said his Kabbalah after the Shia, you know, it was a Monday morning Shia, so when he said it, well, in the afternoon, so he was telling us why he was thinking about the Shiva, and going on about the Shia.
Okay.
There's also Hertzke was in the Kabbalah then.
Hertzke, right. He was also Mr. recently.
What?
He was European, right?
Yeah, recently he was there.
Yeah.
And I learned also with Rav Schneerson, so that I learned later.
Uh-huh.
I became very close to Rav Schneer.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I used to eat in his house every Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. Where did he live on Tristan Avenue?
No, he lived on Monmouth.
On Monmouth, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I used to go to every Shabbos.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, Mel Keel,
yeah,
when he came back from his show, so, you know, say hello to him, he said he remembers, you know, when I used to come to the house, he was a little boy, and he couldn't pronounce my name.
Uh-huh.
Call me Naftali, he used to call me Naftali, you know, he reminded me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't remember, you know, but that's it. So, very close. And you know, my family, whenever he went to a dinner, the Rebbetzin, Alter Rebbetzin, daughter of the Alter, she used to come over and to tell us, my wife, myself, that my wife's grandmother.
Who was your wife's did she come from a family?
You know the
Solof
family?
Which one?
Solof.
Solof, yeah, you remember Tarvadas?
There's one was Solof and one was Goldie. And at one time, they were great Tverim.
Uh-huh.
Any Rosh Yeshivas came from Europe.
The Golding people, yeah. Mrs. Golding.
They built up yeshivas.
And
right. Stories, like different Mekhaimas where they came. And as a matter of fact, my wife's Zeta star, Taurus Emmis. Taurus Emmis, they lived in Borough Park for a while. There was one house on a block. The house was like a whole block.
Wow.
But that's a different story.
And what was their last name? Your wife's family?
Solof. S-O-L-O-F-F.
Yeah, there was a Rebbe in Tavadas Solof. Was it related to them?
That was a brother.
Oh, he was my Rebbe, my first Rebbe elementary school.
That was the father was Nifter Young, and then the mother was Nifter, so they basically signed my Meishra was the oldest brother. And also my wife's, I'm sure you heard of my wife's uncle.
Yeah, what?
Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg?
Sure.
That's my wife's uncle.
Yeah.
And she's very close to me. They speak at least a couple of times a week. They speak.
Yeah, I see he comes here once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's get back to
school. Yeah, right.
You can write a separate book on
that. No, everything is that way.
Rabbi stood by the Solos before he went back the last time.
Uh-huh.
Begging not to go back before 1939.
Yeah, that's the whole story by itself.
Rabbi Zayn Talmidim.
Yeah.
and you had to go back, and he was like, just lift it.
I know.
But anyhow,
did you see Rumble Connor, Emma?
What?
Did you ever see Rumble Connor?
Personally?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. He was in this, he went back in 1939.
Right.
No, I was
too young.
39, I was baby.
So go back to Lakewood.
Anyway, I came to Lakewood. So, Shiva, like I told you, had eyes to look right through you. And yeah, that's later.
Yeah.
You know, I said I should mention that Rashiva was when I was shopping. And Rashiva Baron Kutta was our shopping, but that came later. And then Rav Nelson Stockfeigel.
Yeah.
You know, he used to try to macabre some boys there. So, you know, he seemed to learn. I said, here's what I want to learn. I said, I'm learning morale. So I said, yeah, I'll learn morale.
I got into stuff.
What?
I mean, Hashkaf, I got into it.
Well, you know, I didn't want to learn a Musa thing. So he said he was learning the mitzvah about Hanukkah. And right there, it talks about the Daniel. And everything. So he said, well, let's learn Daniel. So we started learning Daniel. And he told me, said, I got very close to him. He told me certain things. It was interesting that, you know, someone, maybe I shouldn't say who, someone had mentioned that he sees people and all of them have a very short life.
Which people?
What?
Which people have a short life?
People in general, in Europe.
Europe. We did the year, only the year of Mashgiach, some...
Rav
Nachman Vachfeigel. No, but who's the only Neil the Navi?
No, we learned, because
we talked
about the
In the Tanakh. In Tanakh. Yeah, I thought you meant Rav Neil and where he came, when came, it was.
No. So we started learning the Neil, you know, beginning blindness with the, you know.
Yeah, right. The fire.
You should know that later years, when I came, after I left Lakewood, when I came back, so whenever I saw Rav Nelson, he asked me, you thanked him to say it in Daniel. And Rav Schneer, whenever I saw Rav Schneer, he always used to think, next to Zman Metchen was looking to Engina. You know, he used to stay over to the shiurim of the Rosh Hashiva. But he was always, you know, he was busy in Rosh Hashiva, but he's next to the Yoshim. But I never got a chance. But anyhow, so let's get back to the story.
Yeah.
So the Rosh Hashiva, he used to say a shiur, he might say Shabbos. Every shiur he said, in the regular Siddurim, usually in regular Masechtos, were an hour. It's like you could time him a clock. You start 8 and finish at 9. But during that time, he just, he kept speaking like mumish without a stop. And when I first came, I couldn't even understand it because he never paused between Akash and Terence. So it was very hard to hear, you know, especially if you weren't used to Russian. Later on, a few years later, you know, he started asking Bach and Brad, he asked him, Hush, today Rosh Yeshivas, you know, Yeshia. And they said, no. So he said, why not? He said, they said it's too hard. So he started speaking slower. And when he spoke slower, of course, he had to leave some rice. He could bring all the rice that he had before. He still kept the hour. And that's it. He didn't want to speak the morning now.
Mm-hmm.
So, And anyhow, he so Monday morning, he would get on a bus, go to New York, stay there till Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife remained in the city the whole time. The mm-hmm. Robertson remained in the city. She never came out to Lakewood, only young type.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, after a year or so, he started getting schwacher. So it was harder for me. Hello?
Yeah.
It was harder for him to travel by bus and train. So it was decided that he has to have a driver, a mm-hmm. cowboy driver.
Mm-hmm.
But the yeshiva couldn't afford a cowboy driver.
Right.
And so some bus donated a car. It was like, you know, it of course was an old car. And that car.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, maybe I'm leaving out as far with the car as in the previous story. When I came, not only the yeshiva couldn't afford breakfast,
yeah.
but no money to pay gifts for buying that breakfast.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of egg farmers in there, all around there, and there were a lot of them yidden.
Uh-huh.
So they made up that each egg farmer will donate some eggs
yeah.
every week. It has to be someone to go in and collect the eggs. So when I came to Yeshiva, there were like six Bachrim who wanted to drive, the younger Bachrim. So they said, look, you have to take a turn like once a week. You have to go. There were different routes. There's so many farmers that there were different roads to go on. And each road has a few farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go. So they said, like, look, I can't go driving myself. So he had to have a helper.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver went with a helper for a couple of hours to go and the dead extra sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was the drivers, as it comes out, the drivers always had to go pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, hello?
Yeah.
And whenever they drove, it was on back roads. So they would always tell the helper, as soon as they get on the back road, you get behind the driver's seat. And he would teach him how to drive as they were going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the thing is that the car that they got was a real old car which had a floor shift with a clutch.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Like if you stop for light on a hill, you had to have 3 feet.
Uh-huh.
One for the clutch, one for the brake, and one for the gears.
Right.
And if you don't put your foot on the gears, then it stalls out. And anyhow,
yeah.
But that's the way it was. And then, as more Bachrim started coming, so at the beginning, you had to go. And like I went only altogether a few times. I didn't
yeah.
I wasn't there, to drive around. But as more
Bachrim... Who was the side of all these? Riding? Who was Masada, the shifts?
Rabbi Asher Katz.
Uh-huh.
He became, originally, before I came, he was like one of the younger lights.
Uh-huh.
I asked him that he should help them, like be in the office.
Yeah. I have him too.
What?
I have an interview from him also.
Yeah. And, Anyhow, when it came, so the yeshiva said he couldn't drive, so they had needed someone to drive. Someone donated a car, an old car, but better than the original one, the regular ship. But also, we had to take turns. The younger Bachrim had to take turns.
Mm-hmm.
So, while we do, let's see, for example, so Monday, right after the shiur, let's say someone who's in charge, an older buck or whatever, you're an older, younger man, would say it's your turn to drive to New York. So you drove to New York and you came back that night.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, another buck would go with the Rashiva and come back until Thursday night when the one who went out came back with the Rashiva.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it used to work. And I have some stories to tell you there also.
Yeah.
house once. So actually, I drove just a few times because, you know, other things. I didn't encourage going. But,
Did he speak on the way you drove? Did he say anything?
What?
Did he say things while you drove?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I had a very unusual experience. Because one time he asked me, I told him Monday when he said the Hampshire, and after the Hampshire, so the one in charge came over to me, I think it was Yisrael Meir Kagan, says, God, you have to take the Rashid to New York. I said, all right. So I got in the car, and then I just heard the Shia, so I asked the Rashid Akasha about the Shia. So the whole rest of the way, it seems he had a Hemshech on that Akasha.
Uh-huh.
The whole rest of the way, he was telling me a Teretz on the case. So it was hard enough to drive, and he was asking me, what's RPA, like, got to answer him also, like, he's making the same things and he asked me what my opinion was, That was really a hard time. It was a unique experience.
Uh-huh.
And when we got to the towards New York, he's saying, Geschmack, Gewetten, man, I got some Zeit. Then he says, instead of going to the office, he wants to go to his house in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We come to his house. So his daughter Sarah was there.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of Sarah?
Yeah.
So he tells us, we had a geschmack ride, Gretten Lehman against the side. She starts screaming, what do you mean Gretten Lehman? He was driving. What are you doing? She says, no, it was all right. She starts screaming louder. So she returns to me and says, no, stay zigzag about that pillow.
Things with that,
with
sorry, he couldn't. Yeah.
But anyhow,
it seems that he had like a sense of humor.
Yeah. I mean, he was very friendly when you had personal contact with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you, when I went up to his house and he invited me he went up to eat supper, so he says, I should come,
Yeah.
I came up, Then he says, Daf Tepes Essen. So I said, So he says, so to him and the rabbits and talking into eating chicken,
Yeah.
All right, she's eating chicken, I'll eat chicken.
Yeah.
Then I see the Rashid is not eating, he ate something else. He says, no, Rashid. What did I shoot? Chicken. I ate chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both very very friendly people from Missouri. As a matter of fact, there's a famous story, which I'm sure you heard about, that once he was riding the car with two Bachim, and it was at night, and there was a hitchhiker.
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhikers on the two Goyim.
Yeah.
They were hitchhiking.
Yeah.
So they passed him by, so he says, why don't you stop? Pick him up.
Yeah.
They said, we're afraid of them.
So
you say, yes,
this is
and
drive,
they
said,
say. You ever hear that one?
Yeah, but who was the third one?
No, the third one was himself.
No, it's you and him, and who's the other one?
No, this is not with me.
Oh.
I heard
from
before,
I'm
just telling you all
the story. There's two Brachim with him. Oh, okay, yeah, I heard the story. Yeah, I heard that story.
I figured out that's an old story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my wife says I should tell you the doctor's story.
The doctor's story?
Yeah. Later, he became, he went to the hospital, he was sick.
Which sickness is this? Well, he got very sick, you mean, at the end?
Yeah. Towards the end, yeah. He got sick, and so Bachram, we're taking turns going there, so they said, why don't you go, and you should go to also spend the day with the Rosh Hashiva.
Mm-hmm.
They said, all right. So I went. And when I came into the room, the Rebbetzin was there, this hospital room I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rosh Hashiva tells the Rebbetzin, he wants to get out of bed and sit down, and she should straighten out the bed. Says, why? Says, the doctor's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, why? Says, who told you the doctor's coming? Your doctor's not coming. What happened was that the head of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
Rosh Yeshiva, a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing, he was a tall, about 6'2", and guy, a real guy, but he saw that Rosh Yeshiva, and he saw the opposite, he was something special, he's like,
right.
The Pashi Mensch.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor admired the Rosh Yeshiva,
mm-hmm.
and just even though he wasn't his patient, he used to come to visit him all the time.
The Goyish doctor.
The Goyish doctor. And so the relative says, how do you know he'll come? And not going to come. A short while later, in walks, this like I told you, tall guy, he was the head of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Out the guy, you know, and the she was sitting, the Shiva was short and sitting, and the dog was so tall, and he's standing in front of the machine and saying, why are you asking? And they asked the Shiva, do you like your work? Said the Shiva, he answered, yes. And on a few occasions, the Shiva, I said, Shiva, matter of fact, someone wanted to ask the Shiva, do you speak English? And he answered, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the doctor says, do you like your work? So he says, yes. And then he says, you want to continue? You know, so the Shiva says, yes. The point was that till that time, the Shiva never took a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor wanted to impress upon the Rosh Yeshiva that he has to go from vacation to rest up.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have a rest up.
Yeah.
So it was Taka as a result of that conversation that the Rosh Yeshiva Taka went to Miami.
Uh-huh.
That was the first time he went to Miami.
What year was that?
And what year was that?
Yeah.
Raise a whole woman. Well, we married when I went to... probably 1960, we married. Yeah, probably 61, something like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Have you never Miami before that?
No.
Uh-huh. Who went to
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to take some. Oh, yes. As far as with the driving of the car, there was one bocher who more or less took over the driving. He liked to drive the Rosh Yeshiva. That was Avram Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came into the picture, he took over, so no one else had to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he went all over with Rosh Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I'm sure you heard of Avram
Stefanski. Yeah, I interviewed him. I heard a story with him, was very funny, when he went to the Gan Rebbe, you heard that one?
No.
So it was, he went to the Gan Rebbe with Raman to Eretz Yisrael, so Raman told him, let's go to the Gan Rebbe, so he didn't want to go. He said, I don't want to go to Rebbe, so he told him, he tried to convince him to go, he said, if they give him a bracha.
Yeah.
So first they stopped him along, he came out there, so with the Rebbe, he put out Paris fruit. He used to make a bracha, so he said, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat. And this, so he was like reluctant. And by seeing that's supposed to be a big thing, the Rebbe's giving you fruit, you gotta take.
Right.
So he didn't refuse, so the Rebbe said, he said, Ezei at the Kemel and Zayin HaChasid. So the Rosh Yeshiva told us, Gesagte, they get my bracha.
That's a cute one, yeah.
But I don't think I have it recorded. This is the first time I recorded it. So somebody might have shut off the machine when I said it, when he said it. It might have been that Eliezer Stefanski told to me.
Yeah. Anyhow, so he took over the driving.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. You know, my mother, Hashem, was very active.
Yeah.
She started the Beis Yaakov on the east side. She hired Rabbi Garba.
Yeah.
And then later, and when that built up, she started the Shea Kuz in Israel. And I could write a... Yeah, people tell me to write a book about my mother.
Now they do that. Nowadays it's very common to do that.
What?
If people do write such books, and every week they come out with a book like that.
She also started the Shea Kuz in Israel.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little boy,
my mother took me when I was in a baby carriage to see Mrs. Weinberg.
Uh-huh.
Mac Weinberg.
Didn't you from Mac Weinberg's mother?
Mac Weinberg's mother.
Yeah.
And her, she had a daughter, Chava.
Yeah.
Who had gone to Krakow.
Oh, well, wow.
The first American girl to go to Sochner. My mother said I should tell you also that my mother became later president of the Lake Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
Started the first women's group.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so my mother was very active. I'll tell you a story with the Yeshiva, my mother.
Yeah.
I was in Yeshiva, let's say, about a short while, and the Knesset Gedolah was coming up. Mother then had started in the Sheder Gush Yisrael.
Right.
And she figured, you have to realize, my mother, it was the missionaries were getting to girls coming from Morocco. Moroccan girls were coming, and the missionaries were schlepping away from Yiddishkeit. So my mother decided that she wanted to start an organization fighting against the missionaries.
Uh-huh. She went where?
What?
She wants to start what?
An organization to counter the missionaries.
Okay.
To find homes, these girls.
Yeah.
Sign that they have homes, you know, so you find the homes that we brought up in the Yiddish.
Yeah.
So I remember where the question was what you should call the organization. So my father and my parents said they're always with the Agoda, but people said the Agoda at that time was involved with politics, we had to serve. And my mother said no, she wants to keep the name. So she called it Neshe Agudas Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you when the organization, you know, got all bigger, remember they used to go traveling all over by train to give speeches to women to join and everything, how important it was, because she used to go to speak. You ever hear of Isaac Shalom?
Sure. Is that from Syria?
What?
Syria.
She used to speak to him. Actually, my mother got to know him when she was started with the Beis Yaakov. So my mother used to go ask him. My mother was a fundraiser. She was a speech. She developed a speech. She used to, this is a Mabdi Mada Sedra, how to learn the Sedra every week in Mepharshim so she could speak. And she used to speak. Matter of fact, this Chava Weinberg, she came and got married. So her husband was a Rav, I can't think of his name. He met me with your mother knows how to give musa. Because in those days, you know, many Chashu Eden thought that girls don't need a school.
Uh-huh.
I look and I'm a hey.
Yeah.
Because so my mother really was pioneered that. But anyhow, when my mother came up with a brilliant idea also, when she needed decide that the shame is getting big, she needs to have to make a convention. So she says, but look, it costs money, you have to hire all the staff, and speak. Then she came up with a brilliant idea. She says, look, usually women go along with the husbands that are going to convention.
Yeah.
At that time, I'll take a room, a couple of rooms, and we have all the bottom there, and we'll make a convention.
Yeah.
That's very good. Except one time, her mother told me the rabbanim were all busy. She couldn't get her up to speak. And Rabbi Lazer Silver said, I'm busy till 1 o'clock in the morning. So my mother said, all right, 1 o'clock in the morning. So my mother got the women to come 1 o'clock in the morning to listen to Rabbi Lazer Silver.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mother and that was Rabbi Lazer Silver. That's unique.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, well, I'm here. I'm going anyways.
I'm digressing. Anyhow, before there was going to be a Knesset Gedolah, so my mother tells me, you know, I'm coming to see your Rosh Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just come to the Yeshiva, and my mother comes to the Yeshiva. A week later, the Yeshiva calls me into his office. I see my mother standing on the side. So my mother starts telling him about the assignments and that Israel from Morocco, you gotta save them and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was listening, you know, like he came to my town in America and now he's something about Moroccan girls in that Israel, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, my mother went to the Knesset.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks later, the Roshiva calls me in. He says he had a spilot for them with the Pasha that he was misspelled from all the work my mother was doing, not only with the Moroccan girls, but in general, helping the women with different things. You know, I mean, you know, my mother was always like a very active woman. As anyhow, as I asked my mother should become active for the yeshiva.
Yeah.
Till then, the lady that was there with me was just a former Kailal Vaiba.
Yeah.
First of all, a lot of them are European, and they really had no rapport, no contact with the American women.
Yeah.
My mother had a presence, and she spoke well Yiddish and English, and she brought a new class and attracted a new class at Balabatim, you know, came in and, to help the yeshiva at that time. Mm-hmm. Today, most of the Balabatim up in Eitar, but years ago it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
But, from the outside. So, my mother used to make meetings. A few times the yeshiva was at my parents' house.
Yeah.
My mother tells one maisa that a meeting was called for 8 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear these meetings, you call it 8 o'clock, people don't come till 8:39.
Right.
8 o'clock sharp, the doorbell rings, my mother opens the door, she sees the piano and the pigeons and Rebbe standing by the door.
Yeah.
But usually Rebbe's come late, so they answered that we did not want to keep the Rosh Hashiva waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, they do wear... You know, the Hesped, I remember when the Satmaru was
Moscow. Yeah, right. I wasn't there. I was by the Hesped in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, he said, Malamed Shloshina.
Right.
Aaron, Malamed Shloshina.
Right.
Yeah.
That's famous.
Yeah, and the Roshiva, the first time the Roshiva said the shiur slowly, he tried to slow up. It's like, his mind was over there, and he had it over, like he was in two places.
I think.
He pulled himself back, you know?
Yeah.
But he started saying, slow. And when he used to come Thursday night, so he had what he called them concussion.
Right.
Notebooks. But they weren't playing notebooks. Before computers and counts used to have long ledger books.
Ledger books, I still use them.
So
I pay a lot of money for them. They're very important.
So he used to call them concussion.
Right.
And those concussion, he had all the shiur.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday night, I remember a couple of times I went into his room to speak to him, and he was there with his, looking at his pinkus there, stunning, looking over shit. And you should know that he lost a couple of shurim coming from Europe,
mm-hmm.
and he never was able to machadish any shurim in America, because from the moment he arrived here, his mind was so taken up with building Tyre in America, and he was not only for Lakewood, he was like for all over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an amazing thing was, like when I came to Yeshiva, so there was the government, the Israeli government started a thing, Giyus Bonus.
Right.
So I was really surprised. The yeshiva rented a bus to go and march in front of the Israeli embassy.
Yeah, I remember that.
You were there?
I wasn't there, but I remember what it was. It was where he was there. Rabbi Zon was there. I remember he was there also.
Yeah. I remember.
I think there were 3,000 people by the demonstration.
No, when we came there, there was very few.
No, that was that's nothing, 3,000 people. That's what they wrote in the papers.
Anyhow, so I was surprised when Shiva took a bus and went to. And, my mother held that the Shiva at Shiva, the Medina was only a couple of years older.
Right.
And they felt that, my mother felt that the Shiva coming from America would have more clout than with the government. And they set up a few
home. They set up a few what?
when I used to go there, so my mother used to get to take her to the different homes to see them.
Where?
In Eretz Yisrael. She had the homes that you set up for the assignment.
Okay.
Oh, and another thing. my mother was always
I have to tell her.
Okay, anyhow, I wouldn't talk about the Shiva. But I just want to say that my mother went to visit the Belz Rebbe when she was there.
Yeah.
Only woman they met at the Shiva Belz Rebbe. But anyway, my mother became very close with the Rosh Shiva and Abshne, you know, and she helped him a lot. As a matter of fact, the Rishul, you know Rishul?
Yeah.
Did your Rishul interview her also?
She doesn't want.
What?
She doesn't want to.
You know, that I saw movies of her chasana.
Yeah, he told me something like that, yeah. Where was the chasana?
Where was her chasana? I think it was in Lakewood.
Not in New York?
No, I don't know. Maybe it was in New York.
What, Broadway Central or something?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess, of course, everybody's costume was in Broadway Central.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, the doctor told her, my wife reminded me, if you have one child, it'd be a miracle, because she was missing a lung.
Oh, right.
And Rav Shneur had a long engagement.
Of course, he had been engaged during the war, after the war, before the war.
Well, after the war. She descended to Zeda, the business down in Melfa. Zeda sent him to the Brisker Road. And when I used to land Rav Shneur, so he used to tell me of the terrorists from the Brisker Road that he heard. But anyhow, so. I'll tell you an interesting story. When the Rosh Yeshiva, at the beginning of the war, you know, no one realized what's going to happen. The Rosh Yeshiva figured, you know, at that time, Litta was like a safe haven for a short while. You know, that the people went there and then from there they came to Shanghai.
Right.
Because it was the second, you know,
yeah.
Anyhow, so the Shiva went there and he figured he'll wait there until the end of the war. And he was getting money from Laser Silver, Cincinnati.
Right.
And Laser Silver told him that I'm not sending in any more money. And Laser Silver saw that there was, the way the situation was turning. So he says, no, I'm not sending any more money, you have to come to America. So then the Shiva had to come. So he came, and he came through Shanghai and California, and then he took a train, and since he was able to get straight through, he didn't have to wait there with everyone else, and he took a train, and he said he has to stop in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So the Shiva stopped in Cincinnati to thank Rav Laser Silver. And Laser Silver was not having him to speak. The Shiva got up to speak, and he just burst out tears. He couldn't speak. He was so overwhelmed. So he went. And then I'll tell you another story. Years later, Laser Silver came to Shabbos to Lakewood. Down there. There's another thing. The Shiva was different than all other yeshivas. Most other yeshivas, they're in the yeshiva during the week. The Shabbos, they go home to the family.
Right.
The Shiva was just the opposite. During the week, he was busy in New York raising money, and his mom is, it was very hot. And it came Thursday night, Shabbos. His wife remained in New York, and he came to the yeshiva, and he had a room in the dormitory. And Friday night he ate with us, he made kiddush, and Shabbos morning he ate with us.
Here's your question. Were you ever in the Rosh Shiva's house for Friday night?
I was ever in his house Friday night?
Yeah.
Friday night he was always in yeshiva.
So you're never there, okay.
Why? You want to know how he...
How he made Kiddush in the house?
He never made Kiddush. He was always in the He made Kiddush for us. He used to stand up the first part.
Yeah.
But he was always... He made... That's what I'm telling you. All the years I was in Lakewood, he was never in his house. He was always... He was always in the yeshiva. And he... Friday night, Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Shabbos usually he... by himself,
mm-hmm.
except for one Shabbos. One Shabbos, Rav Lezer Silver came. So he cut Rav Lezer Silver, they set up like Rav Lezer 8, he set up the dining room for Shabbos Shudas, and they set up like a separate table for him and Rav Lezer Silver.
Yeah.
One else sat in that table, and then Rav Lezer Silver says, no, he sent the Palabasta, Rav Lezer ain't you can't take a land. So he asked the Shiva Kasha. The Shiva answered him, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Then they're not like, you were expecting different types of shit, and it went back and forth.
Who was older?
And what?
Who was older? Was it older or Shiva?
I don't know. Until finally, there was one that answered that here, they started arguing, and so he says, instead of a letter, so it's a new year's end of Palabasta. You know, I've let over the passion. You know, he didn't trust Kashas anywhere.
I know.
He used to bring his own food.
Right.
He came to Lakewood, so he brought his own food. He came for Shabbos.
Right.
But he didn't realize in Lakewood, the Bochum used to raid the fridge in here.
Right.
And it was a thing that was accepted. And no one, they saw food. They thought, we could take this food. They didn't know it was his food.
Yeah.
And he, when he came, he couldn't find the food. So he said, some guy's running there. That's not. But anyhow, so let's see.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's, you know, so many things over the years, I don't know. I'm just saying that I remember them.
Yeah.
He didn't, when I first came, it was always assumed that Rav Dave would be the next Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
So Shneir used to say Chomish.
Yeah.
After a while, they felt like that Rav Moshe Eisenman, like, sort of competing with Rav Shneir.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyhow. I got very close to him, my Shaitzman. I was very close to Shnei also,
mm-hmm.
later on. Yeah. And, so what else? The Rosh Hashiva had, Rosh Hashiva had a sister.
Yeah.
You heard about that?
A little bit. Yeah, I want to hear more. Malka, you mean? Malka, name, right?
I don't even know her name.
Okay.
I mean, he used to go to visit her once in a while, but I
she was a professor, no?
Yeah, she was a professor. Yeah. She was the one that, when she was a bacha.
Yeah, he said she wrote letters.
She wrote letters. Yeah. She wrote letters. And, the yeshiva came to the yeshiva to learn, so they saw that, like, he was mamish, Goyen Olam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to have a thing where what she would go to
Slobodka.
Slobodka. They used to have a thing that if anyone had Elsie, the Bachum was sitting around the base medish. If someone had a Chiddush, so he would get up and say the Chiddush,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sit down. You know, people discuss it. Then if a month later he had another Chiddush, it was a norm, like, they just. Like maybe it livened up the island, and when Rashiva came to Yeshiva, so he got up, he said a Chiddush. 20 minutes later, he gets up, he has another Chiddush. 20 minutes later, he got another Chiddush. So 20 minutes, another Chiddush, they decided to have to be in Vatel Dominic.
Uh-huh.
He was like, come on, I'm a scabber.
So what are you telling about the sister?
Did you ever hear that story?
Which one?
The the one I just told you about.
No, I heard similar story, but not that story. I know. They used to say he used to get up and make a whole shiur. He used to chazer over the shiur from the Rosh Hashiva, Moshe Mordechai, I think his name was.
Moshe Mordechai.
Yeah. He used to like make a counter shiur. We used to redo it in his own way. And there was a competition between him and Mr. Zalman with the Mosh Mordechai to get him as an Adam. Did you hear that?
Now what?
They wanted him as an Adam, but they were like contesting who was going to get him.
The Mosh Mordechai?
Yeah. And Mr. Zalman.
Yeah?
They were brother-in-laws, right?
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah. Well, they were all
there,
yeah.
I'm
lucky he was known.
From the one named that family, famous family, all the girls are married Rosh Hashivas. That's definitely the name of the family.
Famous but anyhow, his sister was, his sister's, you know, she's probably also a genius.
Yeah, right.
She figured her brother, since a younger brother, could be a great, doctor or something.
Right, yeah.
So she used to write him letters and when he was in yeshiva. You've probably heard already. And the mashgiach so knew what a keli had one with the yeshiva.
Yeah.
So the yeshiva intercepted all the letters and never showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
All the years. But then when he became a chosen...
Became a Ruhu was involved with that. The Ruhu was close to him. Was like his mentor at the yeshiva.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, so they say he used to get the letters.
And, yeah, he used to give them to
the mashgiach.
Yeah, anyhow, so yeah. When he became a chosen, if he became a chosen, so he gave him a whole bundle of letters.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The yeshiva used to go visit her sometimes. She was in a nursing home or whatever, I don't know.
Where was that nursing home?
I never went. He never asked me to go. The only place I went with him, he asked me to go. I went one day. Once went to visit Mrs. Bentheim.
Uh-huh.
Bentheim, you ever heard of Bentheim?
Sure.
Bentheim building. Well, my mother was the one who got Bentheim into the yeshiva through Mrs. Bentheim. So when he went there, he asked me to... He asked me to go along with him.
Where was that? The West Side?
Yeah, upper. I don't remember. It was the West Side or East Side. It's many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one other time he asked me. You ever hear of Hess? Anything about Hess?
We are Hess.
You ever hear?
Of the oil company.
Yeah.
He used to give oil for the yeshiva, I think.
More than that. One time, a man walks into, you know, the old building where the yeshiva said most of the shul was seven
and forest.
One at forest. Now that building was an old-fashioned, you know, private house, and it had like glass doors, glass windows, everything.
It was a hotel or something.
Yeah, like I mean, all these buildings were small buildings. We used to be hotels, and you could look in. You could see, maybe I should tell you another story before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came to the yeshiva, we were learning from Basra, and someone comes over and says, I saw some boys were tumbling, and you got to, and someone comes to me, you got to come and see. So what do you have to see? And I'm learning, no, you got to see. The yeshiva was sitting in his room, and turning pages. It's like slowly turning pages.
Mm-hmm.
On your page, you know, going, then slowly, then turning another page. And he did this for a few hours. So, you know, we were watching him. You see, like he couldn't be looking for the Baal HaKayim, he was looking for a place, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to home itself. Yeshiva was sitting in the room, chazing the whole Masechta.
I mean, just by turning the pages.
What?
What Masechta was it at the time?
Basra.
Uh-huh.
He was slowly turning the pages. Like you look at one page, you look at both sides, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, the next is coming this after.
Mm-hmm.
He did everything so fast, I'm telling you, that it couldn't have been that he was looking for something.
It's about Krishna, yes.
I'll tell you one thing. Once I was with Rashiva, and it was before Shia, so I was telling him, he was looking at the Gemara, the Chesmen Gate, the Zayim, the Zayim, the Shulam were a lot of
Chesmen.
Uh-huh. So he could say
that
with
the Tyson,
Zayim, like he was...
He could keep track of a lot of things.
Like he would start where other shurim ended.
Uh-huh.
They used to say that the other shurim, when you heard a shia, you could learn for the rest of the week. By his shia, they say it took a week to learn the shia.
Uh-huh.
You ever hear that?
No, I never heard that expression, though.
No. Because there was so much packed in there. But I'll tell you, it was so, you know, I felt I was gaining so much ideas in such a short time, you know.
Yeah.
And Avon, I'm like, he packed so much into shit. But anyhow, I'm just trying to think, maybe... Anything else you
want to
know?
I'm not asking for facts. I'm asking for impressions, and that's what you gave me. It's like I don't need to know any information. Like it's like, what was the effect he had on the people that he came encountering?
I'll tell you. In the beginning, when I came, there was something about them. Today you would call them like more young Israel type.
Right.
So one of them used to say he was fascinated by his dancing blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
Blue eyes. He used to look through.
Penetrating.
One
of the things that he was Jacob, so it was very impressive, told me that the Rosh Hashiva was extremely aware of what people were, where they were at. He knew exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's another thing. When the first time they asked me to drive my Shiva, I live in Manhattan, I didn't know Brooklyn at all.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, the Rashiva used to sit in the front seat next to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she was sitting in the back, you know.
There's no safety belt then.
No, there's no safety belts. And he used to sit next to the driver. And, you know, he said, he used to direct. He said, okay, there's a link, so that's McDonald.
He knew the map by heart.
He knew everything. He used to...
very, very, very extremely fierce.
Fierce, and also very good in Cheshbon.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I'll tell you, you know, like Reb Leonard Silver once told me, there are different kinds of Havana. Reb Leonard Silver once said, from Tzvei and Zikaran, Tzvei and Zikaran, someone has a good memory, remembers things. And Tzvei and Zikaran, we have photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a photographic memory. Mm-hmm. You stick a pin through a page in the Gemara, tell which
ice
is
going to
come out in every page.
Yeah. That's already given by Rosh Hashiva. So I want to stop now.
Rabbi Leonard Silver told me, "Then you come, baby."
It's probably true too.
I'll tell you, I once met Rabbi Leonard Silver in a mountain. So when we're talking about kashrus, he says, "Yichtay kainim nish," and he pulls out from one pocket a stick of butter, another pocket of cheese. He took his food along. That's right. What I told you, he came to Lincoln.
By the way, what was going on today, things you hear about, that wasn't extreme.
That's right.
You gotta watch out. Okay, I'm going to stop right now. I want to ask you some other